Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Just stop. It's okay. You don't have to hate anymore.
No.
It's okay.
No.
It's okay.
No. This guy got relegated with Middlesbrough, and his next job was the fucking England job just because he brown-nosed some people at the FA. And then in their goldenest of generations, he choked a semifinal to Croatia. He choked a final to Italy. He choked a quarterfinal to France. And he stumbled in another final, and who knows what's going to happen.
So,
I don't think they're going to win on Sunday, but who knows.
So,
we here. Yes, yes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Real Football Podcast. This is episode 55, and boys, I feel like it's been a little bit long since I've said that. We are here. It is post the Copa America and Euro semifinals. We have two finals set for this weekend. And we're here for a three-man pod to discuss all of it. I'm here with Blake. How are you doing, my man?
Not good, because I missed my partner in crime going, yes, sir, because he always does that now. I don't know if y'all picked that up. Y'all
I was waiting for Miles to say it. I don't know why I thought he would, but
it kind of sucks.
I never do. I never once have.
And Miles, how are you doing, man?
Good. I will say, though, Antoine, if you're listening, you definitely ducked out of this. I mean, France need to get their criticism on this pod, but unfortunately, you live to see another day.
Hey, Antoine is not completely out, because this is a little bit of a spoiler, but we're going to hear his thoughts about France going out and in that game against Spain. I don't know if you boys have listened to the recording, but I have. So at some point, we're going to send it over to him.
Cool. Yes.
But I think since our last episode, all of our teams, Portugal, France, Canada, the U.S., basically all our teams except Canada, you fucking bitch, is out of our competitions.
Which is why I don't care anymore, to be honest.
No, I love this game, eh?
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. No doubt. Blake saw the heights of international soccer when... We're gonna get into the details, but when Canada beat Venezuela on penalties, it was Venezuela, right?
Yeah.
Venezuela?
Yeah. No.
We beat Venezuela on penalties.
Ecuador? Oh shit!
It wasn't Ecuador.
I always get the two confused.
Wait, was
that? But it was definitely.
I think it was Ecuador. I think it was Ecuador.
One went out to Argentina. Hold on.
I'm pretty sure it was Ecuador.
I think it was Ecuador too. It was Ecuador.
Wait.
Oh.
It was. Oh no!
Oh, you guys!
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
No, it was Venezuela. Get the fuck out of here!
Oh fuck!
Okay.
That's hilarious.
Jesus, man, you think I'd forget the best half of football I've ever seen?
Yeah.
Jacob Schaffelberg fucking turning into the reincarnation of Lionel Messi. Oh my god! So I was going to say that Blake saw the heights of international soccer and its true potential when this man is singing O Canada in a room full of Americans. We win on penalties. And this man is saying that international footy is so clear. But now...
Okay, whoa.
Well.
Hold on. You can get the receipts. Did I say explicitly it was clear? I don't know. I was kind of blacked out of happiness.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was blacked out. Yeah.
Okay. No, hold on. Let me find
you
it.
You said... No, I fucking got it screenshotted, all right?
Okay.
International football just hits different, says Blake. I said, it does, brother. Nothing beats the feeling. Keep this energy for the pod, please. You said, I will, I promise.
Okay. It definitely... Okay. it does hit different. It now that my nation actually gives me something to cheer for and I'm proud of them despite losing, it definitely hits different. It's something that I haven't experienced before, and I'm very glad that I got to. Even though I was in a room full of Americans, it was just me and my dad, and they all didn't watch soccer, and they were like, oh, look, kick a ball, run. Oh, look at them rolling on the ground, fly. Like, you know, when people who don't watch soccer just disappear, you know? As Miles disappears from
Miles
the call.
Miles just left the call.
We'll keep going, but... Anyway, he'll you know how people who don't watch soccer just kind of shit on it and don't really understand the game, and they just, you know, say dumb stuff when you're watching. But yeah, it was crazy. And the penalties were I thought we were losing on penalties, but Max Crepo just showed what an insane goalie he is. And yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's a Canadian heritage moment, and I'm definitely won't forget it anytime soon. So yes.
Bro, for real. Like that pride in watching my country, obviously Portugal is something. But when Canada is playing, and I don't know, like I'm going on Instagram and everybody's posting mm-hmm. about soccer for once, and everybody I know is locked into this game, and you know, all my cousins and my parents and everybody I know is watching it and showing a passion for soccer that I never see from them, it does hit different. Even when we lost Argentina, like that pride was still there.
Yeah. And I think this is like the one moment for me I'm not so cynical about bandwagons. Like everyone's posting about soccer who in Canada who like never have watched a game in their lives or don't watch it regularly at all. But
I think bandwagon in that sense is a fair thing to say about what we see. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So in that, like, this is the only time where I'm like, you know what? Hop on. Because it's Canada. We can all love it. But, you know.
Yeah. We'll hold
right.
That.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's fair. That's a good point. I mean, it is true that you do out of nowhere see these people who definitely only support, like, one sport or two sports mm-hmm. that you know are very vocal about it, all of a sudden being like, oh my God, it's Jacob Schaffelberg here to save us all. I'm like, what do you know about Jacob Schaffelberg?
I know.
For real. And so, but like you said, though, it's a good point. I mean, Canada is a country that we can all relate to because we, you know, we live here. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's no bandwagon in that unless,
yeah.
I don't know, there's no really good reason not to. So, yeah.
Do we want to talk about the Argentina game? Because, like, I'm not shying away from it or anything. Not that we were expected to win.
I think this game doesn't need to be talked about much in the sense that, honestly, I thought we started pretty okay for the most part. I thought we started okay, like fine. And then that goal went in and it kind of just never recovered from there. But this game for me, I this podcast is about analyzing and breaking things down and trying to find the little moments where something went wrong or something changed, and that definitely happens in every football match. But this game to me was very simply just one team who was clinical and could finish and one team who couldn't, and that's all it came down to me, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. when you know, it's just, it's Argentina, like there's nothing really else to say.
We had our chances.
Yes, huh. Exactly. So that's all I have to say on that part. I think it was just a team that could finish and a team that has right. been there before and a team that hasn't.
I think it's, yeah, I think that's an important point you make about that, you know, they've been there before. I mean, obviously it's Argentina, one of the greatest footballing countries of all time, and obviously number one ranked in the world. They just won the World Cup a couple of years ago. But I mean, it's like, you know, it's, we're so proud and happy for, you know, where Canada have gotten to this point. And I think, you know, we just hope that they can build on that, because Argentina, time and time again, this is nothing new for them. A semi-final in a big international tournament, right? Like, that's not, it's not going to phase them, especially when you have guys like Messi and whatnot. So, you know, it's something to look forward to, especially heading towards 2026. But I mean, it's Argentina after all. Like, there's nothing, it's not that, like, you know, there's nothing you can do. You just, what's it called? Take your cap off to them and just be like, yeah, fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say, I'm very proud of the boys, and I'm very proud of Jesse Marsh, because I think of like the differences between this team and the World Cup team, and like the World Cup team, I feel like was carried sometimes by individual kind of moments. Fonzie at the left wing, you know, like there'd be some like some good interchange play, but mostly like we're relying on like the big guys to step up. This team feels a little more like systemed, a little more disciplined, balanced. A little more structured.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little more balanced. Absolutely. And sometimes that means that Fonzie is out on the at left back and you're like he could maybe we should be getting like more out of him. Sometimes it's like, oh, like why, like, you know, David's not really playing that well, and maybe that's a different kind of issue.
Yeah.
But just like the overall performance is more like balanced across the team, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. For yeah. sure.
And yeah, I just think we have to shout out the midfield too. I think we're set for 2026 World Cup, the next Copa America. How does it work again? Do we get invited or do we have to? I don't even know how it works. This stupid Copa America is
for the World Cup.
No, Copa America.
Oh, the Copa America.
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
it's probably going to happen again. It's probably probably going to do the same thing again. With I think yeah. you just need to qualify in your gold, probably the gold, like the Gold Cup, which is mm-hmm. CONCACAF, which yeah. is like the.
I don't think it's qualify. I think it's just you get invited. I think that's literally it.
Well, no, because we.
I think they couldn't not. With it being hosted in America, I think they couldn't not invite us.
Well, you know the what Americans,
because I mean? Even America, they almost
the
never
Americans got in for sure. But we remember we almost didn't make it into the Copa America. We had that last game.
Oh,
so I don't know how it works, but whatever. The point being,
but you have to get invited to qualify. Yes, and this is our yes. first ever time here.
Yeah, whatever. But point being, this midfield, even if it's just a midfield two, you'd like a third. Most nations run a three if they're good, but. This Kone and...
I know, 4-4-2, you don't see it much.
I know, but this Kone and Eustáquio midfield is great, to say the least. And know, and it right? wasn't even that the whole time at the tournament. It was Eustáquio for sure, but moving pieces beside him. But this Kone-Eustáquio midfield is definitely one to look forward to for every single international tournament we come against. So, yeah, it's...
And this is literally just... Like, Jesse Marsh hasn't hit 10 games with us, bro. He had a couple of friendlies to start, and then he was straight into the deep end with a game against the world champions.
Yeah, like it was friendly against number two in the world, friendly against number seven, then real thing against number one. Like, come on, what do you expect from the guy?
Ridiculous. Right.
Not to mention that they played, especially the way they played against, I keep wanting to say Ecuador, especially the way they played against Venezuela, they didn't have Tejan Buchanan, and I mean he's arguably the probably mm-hmm. second or third best player we have.
Yeah,
I mean, right? I think it's a fair.
He's
thing.
Up there. He's up there.
He's definitely yep. up there, top yep. five for sure. And you know, and it's a shame. And I think he is and what would have been a key creator down that left wing, maybe right wing or down the four. I don't know. They placed him all over.
Fair.
Yeah, yeah,
the casual is just radiating off this.
No.
just say you were golfing, Miles. All right.
No, I watched it.
That's crazy.
Bro, yeah. You had an early tea time the next morning, all right, and you watched the highlights the next day. It's fine.
That's crazy.
What does that have to do with taking a guess as to where Tejan Buchanan plays? Like, I know he plays on the right wing, all right?
To be fair, I think he has played on the left for Canada, so I will give you that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he has, bro.
I'm just trying to give some flowers. Even. I don't know.
No, whatever. It's fine. I'll take it. Yeah, but, you know. But I think it's a great story of Schaffelberg kind of coming out of nowhere, really. Like, we subbed him on the first couple of games, and I think it was in the Peru game where he really showed his worth, and then Marsh finally decided to start him, and it paid off, you know?
In the TFC system, he was always just known as a fast winger. That was it. Like, there was no product to him. There was no real skill or refined. He was just really raw, and there was a lot that needed to work on for his game to fully improve. But even at Nashville this season, he hasn't had the greatest season. It hasn't been terrible, but I think he's just the type of player that we talk about electricity in international tournaments. He's just that kind of player, and he showed up in the big moments. And honestly, I thought he had an okay game against Argentina. It wasn't amazing, but I again No one had a stellar game, but I thought he was definitely better than Larea on the right.
Yeah. I would agree. What else there to say about this game? I thought we were actually pretty hard done by with Venezuela taking us to penalties. I thought we were by far the better team, especially in the first half.
Won 4-0. Should have won 4-0 at so least.
Many, oh my god. Yeah, no, I know, for sure. Dude. I know. And it feels even better with this third, maybe fourth place finish in the Copa America, with our southern neighbors doing so badly. So bad.
And the neighbors and below
I'm
them,
I'm
going to
take this. Yeah, our two southern neighbors doing so badly. But we're going to focus on the noisy ones that are right next to us. Does our resident American want to take it away a little bit, or we'll lay you up.
When I say that I don't watch Americans like the American foot like soccer, like I'm not joking. I mean, I know that Greg Berhalter, you think this is a joke? I don't watch American soccer, and I know that.
Bro, you are American, brother.
I don't watch them. Just shut the fuck up.
If they were doing well, you'd be all over it.
Oh yeah, dude, they were doing well in the group stage. They won 2-0. Like, it was cool. I know that Balogun scored. That was pretty sick. But like, dude, like I don't know what to tell you. Like the Americans, like. I had like something to say about them.
It's just weeks ago. It annoys me that I had to watch on an American broadcast, first of all. But thankfully, when I was using my VPN to watch, because I was getting off the plane. My plane was supposed to leave at 2 p.m. and I think eventually actually got in the air at 6. So we were delayed for 4 hours. It's like a direct 2-hour flight from Florida to Buffalo. So I went into Buffalo because we drove to Buffalo to fly to Florida because it's just cheaper. Anyway, long story short, I touched down right at like 8:01. So I missed the first minute of the game and I'm watching on my phone with my VPN. I'm still in America, but I get the Canadian broadcast. But my dad sends me a text because he's in Florida for work watching the American broadcast going, Blake, guess what they're talking about right now? And I was like, I don't know what. He said, yeah, it's Canada versus Argentina pregame, but the American broadcast is talking about how America would beat Canada in a match right now. And I was like, what? And yeah, it's Dempsey, it's Lala, it's all these stupid guys just talking about, you know, the U.S. has a lot of talent, and if they're matched up against Canada right now, they definitely win. It's just ridiculous. Like, the American way of just, I don't even have words to describe how idiotic they are. It's just insane. They can't even focus on the match at hand. They always want to be involved. Anyway,
of course,
fuck the Americans.
You can understand what my like feeling about it is that, like, I mean, it's always like, I think it's also like, it feels like this sort of like cringe-esque kind of feeling where you see clips of like these Americans like on broadcast talking about, it's like, yeah, you know, for the Copa America you have these great players like, you know, Lionel Messi and, you know, Vinny Jr., and of course you can't forget about the American Christian Pulisic, like that's a real thing. And it's like, it's not that it's like a reason for me not to support them, but it definitely doesn't like add to the fact that I should watch them more, because it's so annoying. And I just, I can't give you a straight answer why I don't watch them. I just, it's not, you know, it's just not as big. I think it's partially, not to blame, but it's partially thanks to you guys for your love for Canada so strong that I think that I kind of reflect off that. And like, being in Canada, I'm more prone to watch Canada just because it's more of what's going on around me and stuff like that, you know? Yeah. And I also think the players, it's a much more likable team that is more down to earth and in a sense with its people, in a sense where you have other guys like Weston McKennie, who I don't even think he sounds English American. So, you know, it's, I don't know, like womp womp, I guess we'll see in 2026, but you know.
And then he got fired today. I don't know who the streets are saying is going to replace him. But I saw some people wishing that Jurgen Klopp would become the manager.
I did see that too. Like
that is I don't think so, buddy.
Let me see if there's any other names that's being there was well, like a one list. That is being talked about a lot is they're saying that they wish that Jesse Marsh was still available.
Well, because I can there was speculation that names. They well I think I read this somewhere. They talked to Marsh or something or whatever, but they gave Berhalter an extension. So then Marsh was like, "Hey, screw you. I don't why am I going to open my heart to you guys if you already have a coach for another 2 years? What the hell am I doing?" So then the Reds came in and snatched him up. And there we are.
Bro, these outlets are so crazy. I look up next American manager. And the first American outlet I see, the two names they suggest straight away,
Zidane.
Klopp and Guardiola.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Klopp and Guardiola.
I mean, to be fair, what? They're both going to be not in a job in the next year, so.
Bro, but like, come on, man. Like, these guys think they're freaking, like, Brazil and, like, all these guys, man.
Yeah. It's annoying, but hey. That's his life. Yeah. That's his life.
Yeah, there's no other names.
And really I mean, the Mexicans.
Patrick Vieira is possible.
The Mexicans had a...
Mauricio Pochettino they want. Thomas Frank. Oh, my God. Crazy. I'm just looking through ESPN right now. Wow, Miles really does not like this episode.
He doesn't like the Americans. But yeah, even the Mexicans had a not-so-good tournament. So it was nice to see that.
I don't even
have
their games up, but yeah.
We
were like the sole representative of CONCACAF in there. Mm-hmm. It was good. Mm-hmm. It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And then, I mean, we can talk about the rest of Copa America. It's on theme. I mean...
Hey, we're here.
It's we were talking about this before we got on, Jew. It is... It's just terrible. It's just not a good competition. Like, it's just not.
It's just... Watching the Euros... And then watching that later in the day is just such a downgrade. It's not even just in like the player quality. It's not even just in like the managers, the performances, but it's in like the TV production, bro. It's like I watched the Uruguay Colombia game today, mm-hmm. and like the Fox broadcast. There's only one commentator, no color commentator. The sound was going like in and out.
Yeah.
The USA game the other day, they had like the camera in the stadium like way zoomed out, and everybody was complaining about that. And there are like almost like no fans in the crowd for a lot of these games. It's just maybe if it was like a standalone tournament, like if Copa America happened next year and it wasn't directly competing with the Euros, then we won't be saying this because we'd be so hungry for football. But literally seeing the downgrade from afternoon to night of these two competitions is crazy.
Yeah, and I want to find a reason for it because especially teams like Argentina, every one of those players plays in a European team for the most part, like in a top five European league. So I just don't know why the football is so sloppy and choppy, and sometimes it's more fun. I'll be honest. Like, it definitely is more entertaining sometimes in the sense where, like...
It could be, yeah.
The game is more open, and it's not England versus France, 0-0. Let's woohoo, go. You know what I mean? But I just don't know. It's just... And the refereeing's terrible, too.
I didn't even talk about the refereeing. Yeah, the refereeing's
worse. Everything about it's worse, and it's sad to see. And like you excuse it when it's your team, like when Canada's playing. Honestly, Canada like low key plays one of the most attractive football in the tournament. And that's not even going out there. Like they try to play attractive football. But hey, man, I mean the CONCACAF. The Copa America has always been known for that, and it's just because we're Canadians now looking at it through an even more magnified lens. Everything is just on blast because we're so focused on it.
I know, bro. I know. Yeah, it's just like I watched like Uruguay Brazil the other day was such a dud. Like it was so boring, and like the fact that it goes straight to penalties. Like I don't know how I feel about that. like you can theorize that like maybe that causes more upsets, but then that means the smaller teams are just going to hold out for a draw in these knockout competitions to try to scrape through on penalties. So it just makes for these absolute duds, bro. Mm-hmm. Uruguay versus Colombia today was
it was decent.
Interesting.
It was interesting.
There was the off-field action that I think we have to touch on. Because we had a second edition of the Malice of the Palace just a few hours ago. That was pretty disgraceful from Darwin Nunez. I will not be surprised if he's banned for a few months.
Wait, what did he do? I didn't see. I just saw the scuffle. What did he do? I know he went in, like when he
so
went
there's in. The scuffle. What is it?
Well, it's backwards. It says Alexis Nunez reports on post-game scrum with fans and stands involving Darwin Nunez and another Uruguay player after a loss.
Like I saw them jump in the stands, but I don't know what happened.
So there's a scuffle right after the final whistle between players of Colombia and Uruguay. Like that's like kind of normal. This is Copa America. Like, we see that all the time.
But then
right?
I went into the stands.
But then like couple minutes after, we see pretty much just Darwin Nunez and a couple of like Uruguayan staff members like climbing up like 10 flights of seats to go up and scrap with a few Colombia fans. Yeah. And sure, the Colombian fans were probably out of order, like throwing stuff at them maybe, but there is never an excuse to go up that far to literally start throwing hands with like Manuel, 50 years old. You know, like, and like Darwin, like he I saw the footage, like he like connected on some fucking punches, like he was throwing shit at them, like he was throwing shit. It was literally like I think like he grabbed this guy from like the collar and fucking got a few shots on him. Like it was bad, bro.
I
he's actually been decent this tournament too, but this is just a terrible way to fucking end it.
I saw that some of the Colombian fans were threatening like family members or something. Again, terrible, but like you just can't do that. And Darwin Nunez is like that though. He's not a baby. Like family members, that's not something that goes down lightly. But he let Joachim Andersen get under his skin. Like he's a softy. Like
going back a while.
It's going back a long while. But if you're gonna target anyone on that Uruguay team or that Liverpool team, it's Darwin Nunez. He has that wild side in him most, and so does Suarez. He likes biting people. Again, if they're threatening family members, that's terrible. And if they can find who did that, they should be banned for life. Like they should never see the inside of a football pitch ever. But as professionals, you're put on a pedestal and you gotta stay there. You can't stoop down.
Totally. Yeah, so it's supposedly drunk Colombia fans avalanche the families of the Uruguayan players, which is when Darwin and other players went up to the stands to fight them. I see. It's and like, there's a video of Darwin consoling his son.
It's like that video of it's like that time when Eric Dier went into the stands against the Norwich, and because some of the Norwich fans were giving his family stick after the game. Now I understand the Malice at the Palace too. Text.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the Canada US basketball game. I was like, what?
Bro, what? No. Like, I, man, like, whatever the reasoning is, like, you just can't do that.
No,
like a
for
professional
sure.
Player, bro. Like,
of course.
Oh, my God. If I was a Liverpool fan, I'd be really worried about if he gets
but
punished
on,
for this.
On a brighter note, I suppose Colombia keeps their unbeaten streak alive, which is cool for them. And like,
yep. What are they up to now?
37-8? I don't know.
Holy.
I could be wrong, but it's something crazy. And I mean, Argentina are still the favorites because I think Uruguay is still a better team. But I mean, Colombia could make some magic happen potentially. And
possibly, yeah.
Going into the tournament, we thought they were sort of, you know, up there as a dark horse because of their unbeaten streak. But I mean, hey, like, kudos to them for being able to keep it going against a Uruguay team who I thought could have won the whole thing. So that's really impressive.
I'm pretty excited for the final on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That'd be fun. We're getting both finals on the same day. Remember, boys? Miles, what are your final plans again for Sunday?
I was planning on, I think I'm going to watch the first half of one of the finals, and then, yeah, we'll see.
It's like almost as bad as me missing the World Cup final for my ex. Like, gosh. Actually, it's worse.
No, that's all, time, that was fine. It's her, if you, like, loved one's birthday, understandable.
Yeah.
Work, understandable. You, Mr. Alberga, are willfully choosing to miss the Euros final. And you stand here as a host, supposed to be an expert for our beloved listeners, and you're here not even a football fan anymore. What is this going on, dude?
Yeah, I don't know. There's really no backing it up. I think it's almost time for me to take my a loan or something away.
So
a 6-month loan.
You're saying club football is clear, right?
Of course I am. When did I ever say it's not? Okay, it's not that it's like club football this, club football that, or international football that. It's my opinion. I am not missing a fucking Arsenal game for anything. For fucking England?
Except golf, apparently. Fuck.
No.
I've missed Arsenal games before. Like
I've missed Arsenal. I've made, yeah, but Arsenal in a cup match, in a final? No.
Well, yeah, no. Yeah.
It's just like, oh, relax. I don't understand why you're so mad. You're going to be able to watch the entire game without me by your side being annoyed.
Bro, don't miss Arsenal. I'm not telling you to miss Arsenal.
I know, but I'm saying you're getting annoyed. Don't, like, you know, don't let it fucking ruin you.
It's the Euros final!
Yeah.
And you're missing it for golf!
Yeah, that's kind
of, you're going to be on, you're, bro, it is once in 4 years, England versus Spain, two of the best teams in Europe that you're not going to see for another 4 years, and you're going to be on hole 8, par 5. Are you fucking kidding me?
And, like, it's not just England. It's, like, this is their first, they could win a major trophy the first time since 66. That's worse than the Leafs. The Leafs have won a major trophy, like, earlier than England has, more recently than England has. What does that tell you?
Yeah. Yeah, and they might be putting us asleep in the process. But fuck, this is history, Miles.
Hey, they played fine today. They played
You
all
said
right
it. Now. You just said it, Jillian.
They played fine today.
They played
well
today.
I don't give a fuck.
And they played well. And they played well against Switzerland. No, the other team. The other team.
I don't think there's another team they played well against. I'm going to be real.
Don't worry. I'll be wearing my...
Last game. Who did they play last game? Was it Switzerland?
They played Switzerland in their last game.
I thought they played all right.
A little bit. We're going to get to England.
Yeah.
But, Miles, like, you call yourself a football fan. This is unnegotiable. Like, you can't fucking negotiate this. This is football heritage that you're willfully missing. There's no two ways around it. You're not forced to go out to golf.
I know, I understand. But you know,
wow, man.
It's my loss, and trust me, like it's a hard decision to make, and now
every single fucking argument we have about footy, I'm gonna fucking remind you that, like, your footy knowledge is a little fraudulent.
All right. Well,
So, England, lads. These motherfuckers are so lucky. That is now three games in a row where, whether playing good or bad, they have scored a last-minute winner or equalizer, and it does my head in, bro.
I wouldn't say luck. Timeliness. We're going to go with timeliness.
What?
Because who did they play in the first round of 16 match? They played
Slovakia.
That was embarrassing.
Yes.
Rightfully so.
They were terrible. They were seconds from going out.
And then
Bellingham shoots their first shot on target, which is a bicycle kick fucking wonder goal.
Please tell me y'all watch Charlie the Commentator. Please tell me y'all watch Charlie the Commentator. Like the one. Oh, Jude! Jude! Oh, Jude!
Oh, I thought he was.
No, I think he's clearly just doing it as a bit, but it's hilarious.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that goal was crazy, and then Kane scores right after, and they hold it down. The Switzerland game, you're right, they didn't play amazing. However, who comes in and saves the day? Arguably the best performing England player.
Saka wonder goal,
in
dude.
The Southgate era. A Saka wonder goal.
Ooh, that's a good question.
A Saka wonder
goal. I think it's Harry Kane. But, yeah.
I mean, Harry Kane misses... I was going to say Harry Kane misses penalties, but so does Saka. Anyway, and then today, another very good performance from Saka. Got a goal disallowed because it was offside. But, again, I think England is getting better throughout this knockout
this
stages
tournament,
and
yeah.
and this
they've been better every game
and
yeah.
this is the time to peak and the one thing that hasn't gone well for them is they haven't gotten a lead, and I really thought they were going to do it today because they were playing well, they were zipping the ball around, it looked promising, and then bam, I can't even remember who scored the goal for Xavi Simmons. That goal was crazy. Xavi Simmons scores an absolute banger. I don't know. You want to talk about a goalie who is very eccentric and overreactive? Pickford is very eccentric and overreactive. So let's.
I didn't want to say anything, arms. But you're
let's,
right. Like,
let's.
He could. I don't know. Blake, what's your call?
Aaron Ramsdale.
What's your call on that? If a goalkeeper gets his hands on it,
nah,
it's
like
not
I
dive. I don't know.
I don't think he should have saved it because it was a rocket and it was a little unexpected. It was a weird shot too because like he fell down when he hit it. I don't know. It was weird. But anyway, point being, if they get an early goal, they win the game. If they get an early goal against Spain, they win the game. And I would bet $1,000 on it. Because
I don't know, man. They scored an early goal against Italy and then look how that went. They just switch off.
Yeah, but that's 4 years ago, dude. Like, I'm saying this team right now, they score an early goal, and I have utmost faith in them. They'll win the game because they haven't played with the lead
what about, like, Denmark? They scored an early goal against Denmark.
Yeah, but we're peaking.
And then they sat back, and then they looked like shit. And then against Serbia, they went 1-0 up, and then they looked shit.
But they're peaking at the right time. I just said that. So, if they're smart, they don't sit back. But, okay, maybe Southgate is going to tell them to sit back. But... What I'm seeing now is I saw Jude fly to the left at times, which is gross, but Foden was more central. Foden, still a fraud and a system player, but he had a decent game. He hit the bar. He had a goal line clearance saved off of him. Like he looked more involved and had a lot more influence on the game than he has at any of the other games in this tournament. So Foden's getting more freedom to be in the middle. Jude is going on the left. That gives more license for everyone to be more in the position besides Jude, but Jude's Jude. You'd rather that. And then Luke Shaw came in and it looked even better. And then Ollie Watkins came in and Southgate made a right move. And then Cole Palmer was the one that passed it to Ollie Watkins. So that's three substitutions that the mastermind Southgate did to help them win the game. So I think everyone is peaking right now at the right time. Everything is clicking for England, and I mean, if they don't win here, then they just don't deserve it. But like, I think this is the time that football is coming home. End of TED Talk.
Bro, but I think they've been playing so shit this whole tournament that even though they were just mediocre today, everybody is so reactionary saying they played well because they've played the best today that we've seen this tournament. But that's not saying much.
I don't think they're.
It's not saying much at all. They looked average today. They should have made such easier work of Netherlands. When you look at the talent of their opponent and you look at their own, this should have been a much easier game.
Okay.
All of these results should have been much easier games.
Okay.
And even against Spain, it should be an easy game. If you actually look at the talent on paper,
okay.
I know it's never played that way. But
so
just,
then France should have wiped
be getting so
France
much
wiped
more
the floor
out of this
with
team.
Spain then.
Absolutely, they should have. And the Deschamps didn't get the most out of that. And Southgate has not gotten the most out of this team either.
And
that's undeniable. If, like, I still think people are being too reactionary. I think Southgate still is fighting for his job on Sunday because it's been a terrible, terrible watching England. Terrible.
But
and they fluked their he's tried four different setups this whole tournament. He stumbled upon this like three back system with two tens that kind of works. The second game of the tournament, this man is going, we've been missing a replacement for Calvin Phillips. And now he's tried three players out in that position, and he's finally stumbled upon the right one. But this is the thing. He's stumbling into this. He concedes a late goal to Slovenia, and they're out, bro. Like, they topped their group with 5 points. They put on a terrible performance. They were seconds away from going out to Slovakia. They were minutes away from going out to Switzerland. And then they were down here against Netherlands, and Netherlands played better in the second half and deserved to go to extra time at least. And now, like, I'm seeing videos of England fans saying, like, let's get behind the lads. Which, fair enough, like, get behind the lads. But, like, giving credit to Southgate and everything, it's just, like, they have stumbled into these finals. They have not put on a finals-worthy campaign.
Okay, couple things. Is what you're saying incorrect? No, and that's an issue, and that's an issue. However, you're hate watching. First of all, you're totally like you like to say you don't, and you like to say you are, but you're hate watching. Absolutely, you are, and. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that they played like shit. It doesn't matter that Southgate's like in over his head. It doesn't matter that Harry Kane hasn't been at his best. It doesn't matter that you have Watkins on the bench. What matters is that they're in the finals. So everything that you just said, while it's valid, and if they don't win on Sunday, it's going to come back up and it's going to be talked about. And that matters. That matters if they don't win. Whatever combination and whatever idea Southgate has implanted into his team has somehow gotten them to a final of a major tournament again. So either way, it doesn't matter if they win. If they lose, of course it matters. But if they win, it's behind you. Go celebrate. Go drink your Carling out of a fucking, I don't know, out of the fucking Euros Cup. I don't know what the fuck it's called. Like, do whatever you want, but they've gotten this far with how shit they have been, and they can play even better. And what is Spain's luck going to come to an end? Like, it's not luck. They played great, but when does Yamin? Oh my God! You know what's crazy? I always mix up his name. I say Lamine Yamal and Yamin Lamal. I always mix it up. Anyway, doesn't matter. When is he going to get pocketed by someone? Because when is Nico Williams going to have a bad game? When is, I don't know, Pedri, you're going to magically show back up and not be injured? I'm just kidding. But, like, there's so many hypotheticals you could talk about, and they all matter. But England's in the final. And if they win, everything you said doesn't matter. So that's behind them. They just got to focus on this game that's about to happen on Sunday and just perform. And that's it.
Of course.
I think what I'm most worried about is Southgate getting credit and then United thinking he's a good option down the line.
Oh, look at you thinking about club football when it's international. Look at you go.
They said it was rumored to say that Southgate might get a knighthood if they win the entire thing.
He shouldn't. No, he's such a loser.
No, he's a loser.
He's such a hate watcher. Loser.
Bro, shut up. Like, you won your Euros. Just stop. It's okay. You don't have to hate anymore.
No.
It's okay.
No.
It's okay.
Bro, this guy got relegated with Middlesbrough, and his next job was the fucking England job just because he brown-nosed some people at the FA. And then in their goldenest of generations, he choked a semifinal to Croatia, he choked a final to Italy, he choked a quarterfinal to France, and he stumbled in another final, and who knows what's going to happen. So, I don't think they're going to win on Sunday, but who knows.
So how old is Jude, Saka, Palmer, Foden, Mainu, Rice, Gaye? Damn, that's like a lot of players who are not even 25 yet who, you know, kind of have a lot more of their golden generation to go. So let's relax him bottling a golden generation.
That's a terrible take, Blake.
No, it's not.
How the fuck are you on about? How old is Pickford, Kane, Rashford in the past, Trippier, Kyle Walker,
Rashford,
John
shit.
Stones?
He showed he
they
was
have
shit.
Young...
He showed he was terrible.
I'm talking about a generation, Blake. I'm talking about a generation, Blake.
Yeah,
he was their best player at the 2022 World Cup and then the Euros before that.
Look, I'm
talking about a generation.
Okay,
not just
it looks like I'm not trying to defend Southgate. I'm not. He's clearly out of his depth, and he's clearly a terrible manager. You could be blind and still see that. What I'm trying to say is that England as a nation can still do something that hasn't been done in over like half a century. So whatever qualms and whatever... And I don't know why, Miles, you're going like this. You should be fucking over the moon.
No,
an England fan, so you're not over the moon.
Because
you don't like
But he knows
England.
I'm right. He knows I'm right.
Listen, Blake, I made a point to you saying that fucking they might give Southgate a knighthood if he wins. You just went against the exact words that you just said about, oh, he totally should win it.
He should, though. He should.
No. He should not.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Imagine being an England fan and winning. They don't care anymore. It doesn't matter who he was. It matters that he brought them and won a championship. Like, what do you mean he shouldn't? This hasn't been done in over 60 years. And you're telling me, you know what?
Any other manager with this same team smacks the shit out of every single team that
that's
they have
great.
Made so far.
That's great, but that's not how life works. There, this isn't any other manager. So
I'm just
like
saying
he doesn't
deserve it. I'm just saying he doesn't deserve it. Okay.
Of course he doesn't deserve it, but he still should get it. Because it doesn't matter what happened in the past. It matters if he does the thing, then everything else is irrelevant. Because he did what everyone else failed to do for the past 60 years. And yes, it's more on the players than him. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. He got them over the hump. So who cares what happened in the past? Who cares if he was out of his depth? Who cares if he's a terrible manager? He did the thing. And that's the most important thing. So whatever happens, if he wins the fucking Euros with England, give him the world. Because England fans, I'm sure they will as well.
All right.
Off the England, bro. I'm literally an England fan. Like, fuck.
Like, what? A Sax fan and a Rice fan.
No, it's actually just Saka. Like, it's literally just Saka. Like, when he missed the penalty against Italy, I almost cried.
Bro, everybody knows that Gareth Southgate has the IQ of a mushroom, and I just hate seeing people pretend that he does. That.
Yes, he's an idiot. He's an idiot. But anyway, we can talk about Spain now. We can give them some flowers.
Let's give Spain some flowers, all right? Mm-hmm. I said before this tournament, Luis de la Fuente is building something, and I thought that meant that in 4 or 8 years they were gonna have a good team, but fuck it. Right now they have a good team. Jesus Christ, lads. I'm gonna start off by saying, what were you guys doing at 16?
No, we were all in high school at 16. We were all in high school.
You weren't doing what Lamine Yamal is doing now, okay? Is that the answer you were looking for?
Quarantine had just started. I'm like a chronic FIFA 20 player.
I was doing other things, you know? I'm just being a dick. I'm sorry. Yes, I know. We were all grinding Fortnite, crying because we didn't have girlfriends. Like, yes, that's what we were doing. I still do that, so there you go. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, let's go to Spain versus France, because in the first 10-20 minutes, France actually looked pretty good. They scored their first open play goal of the tournament.
Shit on France, why don't you? You love to hate watch them too. I want to hear it. Let's go.
What?
Shit on France. They were worse than England by many accounts, so shit on them. Let's go.
What?
Shit on France. Why aren't you shitting on France? They were terrible this whole tournament. They were disgustingly awful. They were disgracefully bad.
You are completely missing the point here, okay? We were having a conversation about England, and I told you my thoughts about England, and fuck, I'm about to give you my thoughts about France. Like, I'm not gonna just hate on everyone.
Why aren't you shitting on them though? They were terrible. Where's the consistency? They were even more terrible than England.
You know what? You hold that thought, Blake. All right. I'm gonna take this opportunity to. We could sit here and hate on France. I'm taking such a good out here, or I'm taking such a good out. We could sit here all day and complain about France, but wouldn't it be so much more useful if we just let our listeners listen to the actual France fan talk about it? Mm-hmm. So let's head over and hear some contribution from the Frenchman of the pod. We had Antoine record his post-game reaction live from France right after the game. Let's throw it to him now.
Boys, it is great to be here. Feels a little bit weird. I'm in France right now. There's a 6-hour difference between you guys, therefore I can't pod because you guys are doing it in the evening, I believe, which means I'm currently sleeping. All this. But nonetheless, we're doing this. The France game just ended about, let's say, an hour ago, maybe a little more. Couldn't really record when the game ended. You know, I had to recollect my emotions. There's no way I was going to start recording fresh off of the loss because I would have said some insane things. However, the game is done. France are eliminated. And if I had to describe the game in one word, it would probably be predictable. Predictable in the sense that Spain have shown they were the best team in this entire tournament. And they proved that again today. In a game where they didn't really need to have that many opportunities, they controlled it from start to finish. I think in the second half, they had one shot in the second half. And in no point of the second half did they seem in danger or did it look like they were going to concede. It was total control from start to finish. So I'll give my opinions on the game. I think you guys are going to be talking more about the other semifinal. I don't really know when this episode is coming out, but hope you guys are enjoying the pod so far. I think this is the big game tonight for you guys, Canada, Argentina. I'll be rooting for you guys in my sleep. But let's get into this game. Deschamps probably is the first subject that I will abort. He is probably the first guilty, the first man that I am blaming for this loss, the first man that I am blaming for this tournament as a whole. I don't understand how you can put forward a tactic with four midfielders for the entire tournament, and then when you need it the most in a game where you know the midfield of the opposing team will outclass you, you just completely take that out and you start Dembele. You start a 4-3-3 instead of a 4-4-2 like we've been seeing before. Even though I wasn't a big fan of Griezmann in a four midfielder system, this can't be the time where you take it out. You just can't take that system out when you have Rodri, Olmo, and Fabian Ruiz on the other side of the midfield that you know during this tournament have bossed it and they are going to outclass you. Not even in this game alone, in the entire tournament, never felt like Deschamps was in control. I was praising the team's defensive work and the effort they were putting in when other teams were putting in pressure in the final third. That was never a question coming into this game. We knew we were solid defensively, but I guess today we really got exposed and Deschamps' system got exposed where we just completely got utterly dominated throughout. If we're talking during the game, Deschamps starts a fair 11, even though I just spoke about how Griezmann wasn't starting. He wasn't having the best Euros, which is, it's understandable why he's not starting him. He starts a fair 11, Dembele in form in the last game. Colomwani did a better job than Thuram. I think it's crazy how we have six different starting 11s in the entire tournament. I think there's been six games. Has there actually been six? There has been. There's been six games, and we've had six different starting 11s. That just speaks to me. It shows how uncertain Deschamps is with the sheer quality that we have. If we go player for player with Spain, we have Maignan, who is the starting goalkeeper at AC Milan. Teo Hernandez, starting left back at AC Milan. You have Saliba, best defender in the world to some, starts at Arsenal, who had an incredible season. Upamecano, who starts at Bayern, which hasn't had the best second half of the season, but is still a world-class caliber defender. Then you have Jules Koundé at right back, plays for Barcelona, solidified his team in a Barcelona squad where a right back is, they're shy of right backs. They're in need of a right back. He has solidified his spot and has done a crazy good job at right back. Then you have Tchouaméni, who starts for Real Madrid. You have you have Rabiot, who starts for Juventus. And you have Kanté, who, even though he plays in Saudi Arabia, he has proven himself and proven himself to be one of the best defensive midfielders in the world. Then up front, you have the three PSG boys, who, although for some had a disappointing season, I think all around it's been solid. Maybe Colomani hasn't been the best. If you look at our bench, you have Camavinga, who got brought on today, starts for Real Madrid. You have Olivier Giroud, who's had a very decent season at AC Milan and has proven himself for France many, many times. You have Barcola, who I'm so big on and probably has been our best attacker as a whole in this entire Euros, which is crazy to say given that he's only been a sub. You have Griezmann, who starts at Atletico Madrid, who is still very, very good. And then you look at the Spain team. You have Unai Simon, starts at Athletic Bilbao. Then the back two is Laporte, who plays in Saudi Arabia. Le Normand, actually, he didn't play today. Nacho, who's going to Saudi Arabia. You have Jesus Navas, who is 38 years old. He's done football in 2 months. Your left back is Cucurella, who Chelsea paid 70 million for. Okay? 70 million for. And has disappointed this entire season. If you go ask any Chelsea fan, their opinions on Cucurella, it is negative. Fully negative. Sure, you have Rodri. You have Fabian Ruiz, who's had a decent season at PSG. I wasn't too big on him. Many people weren't too big on him, but as a whole, he's had a decent season. Maybe not in the Champions League. Then you have Dani Olmo, who apparently has been one of the best youngsters for 5 fucking years now, but still plays at Leipzig. When is he getting his big move? Hopefully this summer, but it's still nowhere near the level of players that we have. Then you have Morata, who's done. A 16-year-old who, obviously, sure, he's a phenomenal player, a prodigy of the sports. He's going to be the next big thing for however many years. I don't care. And then another guy that plays at Athletic Bilbao who has been disappointing. How in the world do you have that much talent over a team? And then you bring on random players hoping that the individual talent surpasses them, hoping that the individual talent does the work, and you're bailed out once again, just like you were in the World Cup. Just like you were in the World Cup final when Mbappe scored the hat-trick. He saved Deschamps' job. How is it that we don't have a system with all these incredible players to be a team with players who play at a significantly worse level? That's why I'm blaming Deschamps today. That's why I'm blaming Deschamps for the entirety of this tournament. That's why I think Deschamps did his time for France. I thank him for everything that he's done. He's brought me one of some of the best moments of my life watching footy. But it's time to go. You can't stay after giving us this rubbish all tournament. And I was even holding on to the positive, saying that the defensive work has been outstanding. This is Deschamps' style of play, playing defensive football. How is this Deschamps' style of play? It's playing defensive football. And then in 2 consecutive attacks, you get opened and destroyed twice in a row, conceding 2 goals in 3 minutes. It's unsavable at this point. He's probably going to stay for another 2 years. But am I optimistic for the next 2 years? Absolutely not, then. There's really nothing I can say. I don't know how to organize my thoughts on this. I don't know. Maybe the loss is still too fresh. I hope I don't take too much of the podcast time away from you guys. I also want to talk about Mbappe, who has been awful this entire tournament. You can say what you want about the mask was bothering him. Today he wasn't even fucking wearing a mask. It's disappointing. This is not the Mbappe that we've been so accustomed to, that we know. And this is not an Mbappe to me that is a captain. Today I saw Mbappe abandon his team when his team needed him the most. If you're not going to perform on the pitch, sure, everybody has their off days. That's understandable. But even on an off day, as a captain of a national team, you need to bring the troops together. You need to rally your teammates in unison to reach the goal that you were trying to accomplish, which was today to get a single goal back. And Mbappe was as anonymous on the field as he was as a captain to his teammates. It's disappointing because he's shown us a level that was almost too good to be true in the last 5 years for this national team. He's almost the top scorer of this national team in less than a decade. I don't understand how someone could have such a bad influence on an entire team. And I'm not just blaming Mbappe. This goes back to my Deschamps point, to be honest, because you sub off Dembele when Mbappe's having a worse game than Dembele. Dembele was the only person crossing the ball into the box. And when you want to actually bring on Giroud, who has saved you so many times, you probably want him to get his head onto something. And you sub off the guy that is going to send the crosses to get Giroud's head onto something. It's just, it baffles me. Anyways, guys, I don't want to take too much out of your precious time. This is as far as I'll go. I honestly can't really organize my thoughts, so I'm going to stop there. Hope you guys enjoyed my little rant. But anyways, back to you, Julian and Blake. Take it away, boys.
Thank you, Antoine. Thank you. I would feel more bad for you if you didn't knock out my country too. But
your team sucked the whole tournament. Let's... get fucked.
The thing with France is they're just fucking winners. They have, like, England, over the last few tournaments, perennial losers. France, the complete fucking opposite.
Fair.
So even when France has been performing badly, they've gotten the fucking job done. That's the difference between them and England.
Fair.
So their luck just fucking ran out against Spain. And we're going to get to that fucking France winning mentality, that Portugal game. No, I fucking don't want to. But let's give some flowers to Spain here and actually preview them going into this final. Lamine Yamal, fucking ridiculous. Just that goal, just crazy. Yeah. Adrian Rabiot was like giving him some discreet hate like before the game. Just absolutely humbled him. This man is like 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Just unreal goal. Placed fucking perfectly. It's insane, bro. It's one thing to do it against like Albania. It's a whole other thing to be putting these performances against like Italy, Croatia, now against Germany and France. Like this is fucking ridiculous. Like I'm in awe of this man. Not even this man. I'm in awe of this little boy.
This minor, bro. Like. It's crazy. It's genuinely mind-boggling how talented he is. And hopefully...
This guy's my brother's age, bro.
Yeah, hopefully it isn't just a flash. And hopefully it seems like it won't be because, you know, he's doing his thing. But, I mean, Mario Götze had a flash at a major tournament, and that didn't go out well. So let's hope it goes right for him. But France as a whole, man...
Even then, like, bro, this man is carrying his country. Uh-huh. Like... Like, he's fucking...
It's wild.
Oh, my God.
He's... Yeah, I mean, and... hey, let's not forget about one very important player who's scored a lot of goals in this tournament. Antoine's favorite player. Fabian Ruiz.
Yeah.
He's had a decent little tournament.
Yeah.
Scored a couple goals, I think. Like, he's...
Yeah, dude, he's looked absolutely unreal. Like his dribbling, like fucking insane. Rodri as well, holding it down as always.
He's the one City player that's not a system player. I'll give him that.
Rodri, yeah, he's just not fucking a system unreal. Player.
He is the system, but yeah.
Yeah, Pedri injured, sucks, of course. Mm-hmm. Dani Olmo coming in for him. Like, fuck, it might be an upgrade, to be honest.
I know. Definitely more finished product, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now then Nico Williams on the left, too, is, like, just insane.
And then it's crazy. Like, Morata just does well. He just does his thing for Spain every fucking time.
I know, man. Yeah, this team looks really good.
The defense, the Frenchman, is going well for them, too. Like... There you go. Hey, maybe Antoine can you know have a soft spot for the two central defenders on Spain. But anyway,
yeah, I know. Like their center backs and their striker was what I was really fucking worried about for this tournament. And from that France goal, like that was pretty fucking poor from all of them. Yeah. I won't lie. But then they held it down. You know, not saying that France looked amazing, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the midfield and the wings is just
it's fucking feasting, bro.
It's wild. Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big up David Raya.
I did not expect.
He should be playing.
Me. I don't know the first thing about Unai Simon, to be honest with you.
Neither do I, dude.
So,
Neither do I.
I'm pretty sure Luis De La Fuente does. So.
I guess so, yeah.
Seems fuck, that, where to
seems that putting seems like putting Arsenal goalkeepers on the bench is why they're maybe this sounds wrong. I was gonna say putting the key to making it to the final is putting Arsenal goalkeepers on the bench, but then that sounds like they're bad and not good enough to start. So I don't know.
Well, they're not.
But where to go from here? Well, folks, Sunday is definitely going to be an exciting day for most of us. Some of us for soccer, some of us for football, some of us for golf. And, you know, the beautiful game is watched by billions year-round, and I think on Sunday...
And you won't be one of them. Sorry.
And Sunday, hundreds of millions will gather around to watch Spain take on England, and a handful of people will watch Colombia versus Argentina.
And you'll be getting the six iron out.
And I will be getting the six iron out.
Who do we have? We already talked about the Copa America. We think RG is going to win, but who do we have in the finals for the Euros? Like, I'm back in England, and I always will. But
yeah, Miles, English or Spanish?
I think,
baby, you got something in your nose.
Stop. I think it's like we talked about it throughout this whole podcast. It's kind of up to how these two teams decide to play. That's the dumbest thing I've ever said. Oh my god. Okay. Sorry. It's, you know, I think it's kind of down to how England wants to start. Are they going to continue playing how they've been playing the entire tournament, where they rely on that late couple of goals to come? Or, you know, or are they going to finally just kind of, like, I was listening to Ian Wright and a couple others, Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher, talk about it, and they were just saying that they sort of feel like when Southgate's managing this team, that they don't really go for it, you know, because they don't score in the first half ever, except for, like, the first game. And, you know, there's just sort of, like, this kind of scaredness, in a sense, not really a word, but to just really go for it right out of the gate. And I think if England want to win, they need to do that instead of letting Spain go to them first. So I think, you know, if they could do that, if you start the right players, start probably the same team, I would say, that you started today, you know, it's anybody's game. And I think Spain have been the best team in the world the past month. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see.
Low-key start walk-ins. Anyway.
I can see that. Yeah. I
won't happen.
Like, I can agree with it, but it won't happen.
He won't do it. Yeah.
It would be good. If what's his name? Kane doesn't start producing, say, by the 60th, 70th minute, Ollie's going to come on for sure.
If it's 55 minutes, if it's 50 minutes in and Kane's not doing anything, take him off. Like, honestly, I'm over it.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been just subpar this whole tournament.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I got the Spanish in the final.
You hate watcher.
I got Miles over 100.
Miles over under watching 50 actual minutes, not including added time of the game. I'm slamming the under, dude.
I think I have to leave. I might have to leave at halftime. We'll see.
That's crazy. Jude, do you want to talk about the Portugal game quick, and then we can go on to some transfers?
What do you guys think about the Portugal game?
I don't think I watched it, to be honest. Did I? I was in...
What?
Who did they lose to?
I can't remember.
France? Oh.
What day was it?
That petulant also,
Julian,
little...
Julian, to be fair, I was on vacation, and I tried to watch as much as I could, so I was hard.
Yeah. Well, you did text me right after the game ended saying, sorry, Jew, so I think you were.
Oh, maybe maybe I did watch it. That was... Well, how did that game end? Penalties, right?
Yes, brother.
Yeah. What? Oh, no, I did watch it. I did watch it. Yeah.
God, what are these frauds that I'm podcasting
you
with?
You know, literally, fuck you,
I'm
Julian.
Kidding, man. You're on vacation. It's understandable.
Don't put me... Anyway, shut up. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, man. Where do I start? I saw a quote right after the game that Ronaldo wants to stay on for the 2026 World Cup.
That's what you get, dude.
Oh my god.
Yeah, well, I mean, the game
was... I feel like this is such deja vu from after the World Cup, because I said that everybody on earth can see that Cristiano Ronaldo is past it, except Cristiano Ronaldo. And it's fucking ridiculous, dude. It's not even like he doesn't know what to do anymore. It's the fact that his mind now moves faster than his legs can. It's that he can't time his jump as well, because he knows when to get up, but he doesn't have the power to reach that apex how he used to. He doesn't know how to get to the front post with the same amount of quickness in the first step to beat that defender. He can't, you know, swing his foot as quickly to really get over the ball and finish swiftly. He just can't do the little things that have made him so great, especially over the past 5 years as a striker. And I feel like everybody sees it except him, and that is the saddest part, because I sat here and I told you boys before this tournament that there was two big things that I was worried about, and one was the formation from Roberto Martinez. And it seems like by the business end of this tournament that we had that all figured out. It was great. And the second thing I was worried about was the politics around Ronaldo. If he's playing bad, are we going to bench him? Is Gonzalo Ramos going to get a sniff in? Or was Roberto Martinez in the job interview told explicitly, if Ronaldo wants to play, he plays? And when I saw him starting against Georgia in the third group stage game, when we already confirmed first in the group, and there was already 9 changes elsewhere in the squad, but he insisted, the 39-year-old insisted on playing, that's when I knew, okay, we have a serious fucking problem. And I thought, okay, against Slovenia, it should be fine. He can get a few goals, maybe even score a penalty and get his confidence up at least. Not even that. This brother is crying halfway through extra time of a knockout stage game. I go, Jesus fucking Christ, dude. And then we get to France. We're playing with 10 men. We are playing with 10 men. And I hate it so much because I love this man. I will love him forever for the great things he's done for Portugal. He's put us on the map. He's made such a small country believe in such a massive game. He has inspired millions of kids inside that country and across the world. He's inspired me. I would not be sitting here if Ronaldo never picked up a ball, to be honest with you. I'd probably be like a hockey fan or something, or I'd be on the links with Miles on Sunday. The thing, but the same confidence that made Ronaldo is now making him a fucking bum. we're now having to cater to this senior citizen, and it is ruining our golden generation. Look at every other player in that team. You could make an argument for being fucking top class, world class players. Like Rafael Leão, fantastic player at this World Cup. Vitinha, one of the best midfielders in the world, proved it at this Euro. Sorry, Bruno Fernandes, fantastic for his club. Paulinho just secured a massive move to Bayern Munich. Bernardo Silva, João Cancelo, Ruben Dias, Nuno Mendes, been fantastic for years. Costa proved at this tournament, one of the best up and coming goalkeepers in the world. Pepe, a certified legend. But Ronaldo is just, it's just anchoring us down to, it's just holding us back. And somebody has got to sit down with this guy and say, listen, man, if you're not going to accept a bench role in 2026, then you can't be picked. It's as simple as that. And if we are going to roll with the same thing and insist on starting a 41-year-old at the World Cup after this tournament, fucking unreal. Unreal.
Could never be my goat.
I was so sad. Heartbroken. We made a TikTok about it and everything. I had my Portugal jersey there in the studio. I was borderline fucking crying when we were last talking about Ronaldo going out of a tournament. I was so fucking sad because I was like, this was his last chance. But now he's seen his arch fucking nemesis win the World Cup, and he's like, I have to get mine back. I have to win something else. I can't be number two. I can't accept being number two. So he He just had to run this tournament back. He had to be the center of attention. He had to prove to everybody that he still got it at 39. And now that he's failed, he wants to run it back at 41 again. And that's just not possible, dude. So now I should be sat here. I should have been sat there on Friday all sad for Ronaldo. But I'm just annoyed with the guy now. Wake up and smell the fucking coffee. You are not the same man that you were even 2-3 years ago. You have declined drastically. You should have retired, definitely from international football, maybe even just from football in general. And every single day that you don't retire from now on, you are tarnishing your legacy. Like, thank you for everything you've done, but the greats know when to fucking call it quits, all right? Because you're not fucking great anymore.
Damn.
Jeez. Yeah, also, I mean, you saw that video of him after João Félix missed the penalty. He just walks away from the team, not wanting to console his team or go and show support. Just walks off like a little bitch. So.
Well, you're gonna take that, Julian? That's your goat, dude. He's called him a bitch.
It's not like... That's poor leadership. This is your fucking captain. The whole team's going over to after a guy who just had the country on his whole shoulders and he missed a fucking penalty. Like, and you're just gonna walk. You're gonna be the only guy, and you just happen to be the fucking biggest fucking star in the world, and you just walk off because oh no, like you lost, and it's all about you instead of actually being at the end of the day a good fucking person, a good fucking teammate. So, you know. That's where I see it. Julian, what do you... Like, you saw the video of that. Like, what do you think of that? Like, doesn't that just make your blood boil?
He's always been selfish. He's always been all about himself. But it's amplified in these last two tournaments because he knows it's his last chance. And, you know, like, these young guys are great. They'll have more chances when he's gone. But, like I said before, he's just so tunnel-visioned on the point that he's number two in the GOAT rankings and he needs to get his back. He needs to make up for it he needs to win a World Cup. He needs to fucking win another Euro, whatever. And he needs to do it for him. He needs to do it for his legacy, not his nation or anything, but for him. And, you know, and that is why against Slovenia, when he missed that penalty, he's crying at halftime of extra time when there's still 15 minutes to go and you need to lock the fuck in, you need to be focused and everything. And he's always been so good at that, Ronaldo, but he's crying because he missed a penalty. So leadership, I don't fucking know, man. He's just,
it just could never be my GOAT. Remember when you defended him at the beginning of last year, the beginning of the first year? You, like, genuinely thought there was... this is before Messi won the World Cup. You genuinely thought there was a debate for Messi not being the GOAT, and Ronaldo was. You remember that?
Yeah, and I also said if Messi wins the World Cup, that seals it. And look what happened.
Messi didn't need to win the World Cup to seal it, but, yeah.
I think this argument is long over, and this Euro has...
But you want to say something, don't you? You want to say something, don't you? Because just look at the two players now. I mean, one is... I mean, they're both in terrible leagues, so fair enough. But Messi's washed too. I don't know what I'm saying. He's washed too.
He's not... He hasn't been playing well.
Yeah, he's washed too. I'm just trying to get under your skin. He's washed too.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I mean, like, I'm sorry. I don't think I've ever loved a football player as much as you love Ronaldo. So, genuinely, I'm sorry. Genuinely.
You know, I went to my cousin's house today. Like, this is like close family, so like violently Portuguese. Mm-hmm. And his parents got him a Lionel Messi book. I went,
fucking W parents, bro. W goddamn parents.
No, bro. Disgrace of the family. What are you doing? And the dad's getting him into hockey. I'm like, fuck, I'm losing this kid.
Bro, there you go. W hockey, dude.
Let's move to club football. And I can actually get out of this
freaking rut.
I know you're in like a little sad boy hours right now. It's okay, Jew. It's okay. Club football exists and is coming back in just over a month, and I can't wait, and you can't wait, because it's what football is all about. However, what comes with club football is this one really, really funny thing called transfers. It happens in national team too. You know, the French and the Spanish and the Irish and the English and the what English and the American. They switch nations just like people switch teams in club football. And there has been some inklings of two of very okay players. We don't really know yet. I think one of them is cool. I think the other one's cool too, but I don't know much about either. So we'll start with Arsenal with you know, a little cute Calafiori deal done pretty much. Agreement with the player is all good. We just have to figure out the terms with the club. And this player is not just a center back, but has also played more than 40 games at left back for his club, which I don't understand why people just neglect that.
Oh, he's left back. Oh, yeah. I thought he was pure center back.
No. He can play on the left. He's played a good amount at left back. That's why everyone freaking out. I'm like, okay, he's going to play left back probably. It's okay, guys.
Okay.
Does that make you feel better?
Then I could dig that.
It made me feel better. If not, yeah.
Well, because it looks like we're probably going to, we're getting rid of Tierney and hopefully Zinchenko. So who would play and play? Ah, whatever. It feels so weird to be talking about club football this time.
Wait, what do you mean? Who would play in place?
Who was playing if Zinchenko wasn't starting? I forget.
Kivior.
Bro, how
you? Kivior.
This guy's. Anyway. And then talking about Mr. Xerxes, Julian. Talking about Xerxes.
Well, there's more United links to talk about than just Joshua Xerxes, but I don't mind him. It's not like Calafiori's almost definitely going to start for you guys. Mm-hmm. I don't think Xerxes is like some monumental piece of the puzzle for United. We needed some depth at striker. Yeah. Like, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Martial is leaving. We didn't really have anyone else besides like academy guys behind Rasmus Højlund. We want to take some load off of him. And I think Joshua Xerxes is like a great fucking option for that.
Sure.
And then he's literally just turned 23. He has the potential to actually put up a fight against Rasmus Højlund in the pecking order. So I'm a big fan of this transfer.
And Xerxes has been a career mode guy for a while, which I like.
He has been. And some people calling him like a Bayern flop. I mean, he's a striker competing for a place in a team with Robert Lewandowski. Like, of course, he's not going to fucking get that. But he's had an amazing, amazing season or two with Bologna. And I've been doing a lot of research on him, how he's going to fit into the United team. He's very, very good, not only in behind. He's got a great frame, but he's also very technically gifted, knows how to link up play. Very similar to like the Martial play style, which I'm looking forward to. It's literally like, imagine Wout Weghorst, but good at football.
Oh, that's what we're interesting. Getting. Okay.
And you have more
links to talk to me about. Share.
Yeah, we're very close to signing Matthias De Ligt.
Oh, I did see that. That's kind of very close. That's kind of annoying.
We have agreed personal terms for Matthias De Ligt. On top of that, we've sent in multiple bids for Jared Branthwaite, and we've had a bid accepted for Lenny Yoro.
Oh, that name. That's why that's familiar. Isn't he like...
Lenny Yoro, who... So he... It's a very weird situation with Lenny Yoro. Because basically what's happening is... I like to talk about this because you could talk your shit about Xerxes, whatever. But like, there's a wider conversation to this because I like what United's doing, and I very rarely fucking say that. I like our strategy. We're working on the Branthwaite deal, the Xerxes deal. We're working on the Yoro deal, De Ligt. We're very heavily linked to Ugarte. At the same time, that's five separate deals that we're very fucking like operating in at the same fucking time.
never said that about United. It's always like, we take 6 weeks to sign Amrabat on a $20 million loan. Terrible deal. And then we're hopping from one deal to another overpay to another overpay. And now we've got a team of specialists. And
so like, are you going to shit on the owners next season still? Or what's going on here?
Well, the fucking...
I know, it's different now.
They're not fucking in charge of football anymore, which is good. And still so many fucking problems.
Oh my God.
No, like they're fucking... Like their 2 billion pounds of debt is still here.
I know, babe.
I always said, like, the Glazers are, like, they're good businessmen. They've gotten a lot of fucking money out of United. For sure. You can't be dumb and do that.
For sure.
But you just can't. They were fucking too power hungry.
Yeah, they're not in it for the football.
Had way too much control on the football side. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why. Because I just looked up the Lenny Euro. That's why I saw it. Because Fab posted that you guys bid something for him, right?
So, yeah, we sent a 50 million pound bid in to Lille. Lille accepted straight away. The thing is, he really wants to go to Real Madrid. But Real Madrid are barely offering fucking anything to Lille for him.
Yeah.
So we just chucked in 50 mil. Lille's going to try to convince him to come to us. Real Madrid can't pay anymore. He might run down his contract with Lille and just go to Real Madrid next year. But just in case, Lenny, we're actually willing to put out the fucking bucks for you, all right? They're not willing to do that. But hey.
Next Saliba type B? What are we saying here?
They're calling him the next Varane. So that's got to be a good sign, right? I'm not going to fucking pretend that I've heard anything good. But like, all fucking signs point to he's going to be a crazy good center back. There's a reason Real Madrid are in for him in the first place.
Man.
But yeah.
That's why I'm jealous. Like, you're right. United's been in a lot of things. The center backs you guys are looking at, obviously
and it's going to be two center backs that we're going to sign too, which is fucking...
Yeah, it's cool.
Lovely.
Arsenal has been kind of the opposite. I mean, we're pretty much Calafiori done, which is, I'm really happy about. And then Sesko's gone quiet. I've heard inklings of Isaac. And then other than that, it's like, it's nothing. I saw... AFTV is the worst outlet ever, so I don't listen to anything they say because they just link us with everyone. And it's been slow rolling for the Arsenal transfer news, which is unfortunate because I don't think we need much besides a striker and a left back. And left back's kind of in the works. Great. Now let's take a page out of United's book, which we haven't needed to do in the past couple years, but let's... let's hop on that United train right now and let's kind of find a striker, please and thank you.
It's also mid-July during the Euros, so like...
True.
You know what I mean?
True.
Like, we can't overreact, like, at all.
And he doesn't get cooking until he feels like it, and when he does get cooking it, he cooks quick.
True.
Yeah.
So. Poor Bologna, they're just losing all their players.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when these little teams have grid seasons.
I know. Like, I know. I mean, it happened with Leicester. Happened with, it just always happens in it. But
I hope it doesn't happen with Leverkusen. That's the only one. Like, keep that team together.
It doesn't seem like it is right now, though. That's a good thing. But, I mean, hey, fucking the Leverkusen players, besides Xhaka. Xhaka had a really good tournament. But why do I always forget his name? The fucking right wing. The right wing back.
Jeremy
Frimpong.
Fucking Frimpong. Why do I always forget his name? Frimpong did not play at all, pretty much. I mean, the guy, what's his name? The others, didn't they have another, the other?
Dumfries, or no.
The other Swiss guy. They have another Swiss guy, don't they?
Well, Jacket, and the Polo? Other Swiss guy.
No.
And Polo doesn't play.
Anyway, there's another midfielder who's on Leverkusen. Is he Dutch, maybe? I'm forgetting. Doesn't matter.
Who are you talking about, brother?
I'm dead ball knowledge. Dead ball knowledge. Don't worry about me.
They got Andrić. They got Xhaka, and then Verts, and
I'm thinking of someone else. Maybe it was Andrić, but yeah, anyway. Good for them. Saliba is the best defender in the world.
Good for them.
Just want to point that out.
What?
Because I said next Saliba, this Lenny Euro guy, and he
brother what?
You know what's crazy is like Saliba
just having an unrelated conversation.
It's crazy. Is Saliba have to get that Saliba can genuinely like be the best defender ever, which is so crazy to think about.
Oh my fucking goodness, bro.
Okay, hear me out. He wins.
Oh my god.
Okay, he wins a treble next season. Oh my god. He wins a treble next season with Arsenal.
What the fuck? Fucking treble? End the fucking pod. End the fucking pod.
He wins a treble next season. He wins a treble next season with Arsenal. What stops him from carrying that to the best defender in the world? So then he's not staying with Arsenal for life. He's going to go to Real Madrid because I think he wants to as well. So then he wins two Premier Leagues with Arsenal and a Champions League. And then he goes to Real Madrid and wins three more Champions Leagues and league titles. How is he not the best defender to ever live? Exactly. Speechless.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. He's one niche, bro. Like,
as of now.
One fucking niche.
As of now.
Oh, speaking of Saliba, speaking of Marseille, France, kind of, Marseille signing Kone.
Oh, yeah.
And signing Greenwood.
Yeah.
What do we think of that?
Yeah, the Kone one's cool. I think Kone will actually play, which is nice. I think he'll actually play.
Miles looks like he's about to die on my screen, but I'm going to ask for your opinion on this. I saw an outlet suggesting that it's problematic that United's getting a fee for him. What do you think?
Football is football. It's football business. Like,
what the fuck do you expect?
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. I was like,
he's
like, what?
He's technically not a criminal, so.
Well, no, it's not even that. He's technically still a footballer that you pay money for that will produce for your team.
That's what I mean. If he's a criminal, he wouldn't be playing. He's technically not a criminal.
Yeah,
meaning he can play. Meaning
I feel like we're getting good fee for him. Eh? He only has a year left on his contract. We're getting like £28 million for him. Like I don't, and we're getting like a 50% sell-on clause. How the fuck are we scam that?
Oh, is it some team? It could be for California. Could be for Calafiori.
Basel's getting 50% off of anything more than $4 million for Calafiori.
How fucking amazing is that for Basel?
Oh, bro, have you seen? Bro, even better, have you seen that fucking Max Kilman is going to West Ham for $40 million from Wolves?
Mm-hmm.
And his team before Wolves was like some like non-league club who had like a 20% sell-on clause.
I heard about that.
But for them, that's like fucking generational money.
That's
so
like...
they're going to rebuild their whole stadium now. Like literally like they could have been on like the brink of bankruptcy and now let's just so save their whole club for like a decade.
I fucking love that. I love that shit.
I know. Me too, man.
Bro, we should make a TikTok about that.
Yeah. I saw Rory talking about it.
Never mind. Okay. Are we good?
I think we are good.
You said it wouldn't be a long pod. We're 126, bro. That was a fun pod. I
like
that pod.
We literally said before this, like, yeah, we've done a few long pods. Like, this will be short. Are you actually okay, Miles? Like,
yeah, I just have a bad cold.
Okay.
I
feel like next pod will definitely be short. We have the finals to talk about. That's it. It'll be shorter. It'll be shorter.
Bro, you know we're going to talk a long time about the finals. And then we'll have the Canada third place game to talk about.
Yeah, which like... Eh.
And then we'll have more transfers to talk about. We'll have the Ligt and the Xerxes.
We'll
Here
have
we go.
Benjamin Šeško. Nah, it's he's just not
Yeah,
gonna, but
maybe. Okay. No?
Fair.
On
that note, Julian, I think it's time for us to leave. So take us away.
So anyways, boys... lads, I hope you have an amazing weekend watching all the footy in the world, except for Miles. But Miles, genuinely, I like, what do you usually hit?
I shoot like...
He has a handicap. Know. Let's be so
I'm
honest.
I'm aiming to shoot like high 80s. That would be nice.
With what handicap? What handicap?
Bad. Like 18, 19. It's okay. It's bogey golf.
That's pretty... Fair. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, I just want to shoot high 80s and a Bukayo Saka
goal. I'm hoping...
There you go.
I'm going to college. I'm going to college with my girlfriend next week, and we're actually hoping to hit up the range for the first time. It'll be my first ever time golfing.
Wow.
Golfing's
excited to hear about it.
Golfing's too white for me.
I'm going to fucking embarrass myself, dude.
It's okay.
But dancing's not. Dancing is just...
okay, that...
Dancing's fine.
Okay. All right.
How is dancing white, bro? Like, what? That was the most brain dead thing you've ever said, Julian. Like, what?
Like, okay, call it.
Oh, Blake. Now that we're deep at my my dad is looking for the next step to watch you.
No way.
He's actually trying to watch. Like he actually he asked, like, oh, where does he record? And I told him where you record. I'm not going to say on here. Mm. But then he was surprised with the location of it. Mm. And then he said, oh, is that for UA? And I'm like, no, it's the next step. He's like, what the hell is the next step? And so I explained it to him. He's like, it's a reality show, but like it's scripted. And he's like, so it's like WWE. I'm like, well like everybody, like, I'm like,
not the WWE slander. That's
like, hilarious. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's good. No, he's like, he likes you, man.
I like him too. Except for the City United thing. But other than that, I love Papa Bencore. I love him.
Yeah. Okay. Rant over. Lads, good episode again. We've been going for
1:30.
An hour and a half.
There you go.
Holy fuck. But I've enjoyed it very much.
Same.
Boys, I hope you have a great sleep. All right. And I hope you have a great time watching footy these next few days. With that being said, Blake, take us away.
We out.
See ya. Thanks
for listening.